The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 5th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Today is a day to remember. It's a day to remember those who have died in the past year, those who belong to our church family, those who are part of our own family, either by blood or by love, and those we may not have known but who died in the faith. We remember their lives, we grieve our loss, and we give thanks for their place now among the saints eternal. If you're like me, you'll have trouble focusing your remembrances on only those who died this past year. And your memory may expand to those you loved, no matter how long ago they died. For our remembrance table out in the narthex, I brought a picture of my parents today. It's one of those good old Olin Mills church directory pictures, but it's the best one that I have of both of my parents. And my mom's been on my mind recently, so I also brought a mug that used to hold her tea. Because just like me, she always enjoyed a good cup of tea. And even when I was a child, I remember sitting around the table after dinner to drink tea and eat cookies, my favorite snickerdoodles or ginger snaps. I miss her. And today I remember her as my mom, but I also remember her as a saint. When I think of people like saints, I often think of people like Peter and Paul, and the disciples and the early believers, the ones that are depicted in paintings with halos. I think of those in the stained glass windows of the cathedrals, looming high above us, arms outstretched and hands in the shape of a blessing. Or people like Mother Teresa, Oscar Ramirez, or Dorothy Day, those who literally gave their lives for others. We read the Beatitudes every All Saints Day, and we so often use the Beatitudes as a list of saintly characteristics, a moral checklist of what we think God wants us to do. We hear the characteristics of meek and mild, peacemaker, poor, hungry, persecuted for the sake of righteousness. Does God really want me to be poor and hungry? When we dig a little bit deeper, though, we find that the Greek word for saint is hagios. And the adjective hagios means set apart for God, belonging exclusively to God. All of us, in the waters of baptism, are set apart for God. And that's pretty cool, because that means we are all saints. But how do the Beatitudes fit into All Saints Day? The Beatitudes really are a beautiful piece of scripture. And we love them, and we memorize them, and we use them all the time. In the version from Matthew that we read today, Jesus climbed up onto a mountain with his disciples. He's apart from the crowds again, and he's teaching the disciples like he so often does in Matthew. And if you look at any of the paintings of this scene, they're very peaceful and serene. The Beatitudes are the beginning of a long teaching narrative for Jesus. And it's important to know that the very first thing that Jesus teaches the disciples is who God blesses. Jesus doesn't teach them how they themselves can receive God's blessing or how to bless others. But Jesus teaches them who God has already blessed. And it's a little different than we might expect. It's common for most of us to say that we've been blessed when things go right, when we've been spared from something terrible, or when something really good happens in our life. And we may think that God's blessings are only upon those who have good jobs, perfect children, the right house, and the right car. We may think that God has looked upon these people with favor and granted them good things in their lives. But instead of using our list of who has received God's blessing, Jesus uses his own list. People we wouldn't expect. People shunned by society. People on the fringes. People at the rock bottom of life. And Jesus says they too are blessed. It's actually worth considering Luke's version of the Beatitudes this morning, in addition to our version from Matthew. In Luke, among other differences, the setting is a flat, sweeping plain instead of a mountain. And instead of teaching his disciples, Jesus is looking out across the plain into a crowd of people. And these aren't people with the right car and the perfect children, but they are people who have come to be healed. Real people sitting in that crowd, struggling with addictions, or broken families, or job loss, people whose health is failing, people who work to keep food on the table and the children in school, people who may have been abused emotionally or physically, people whose burdens are heavy. And this crowd of people reaches out to touch Jesus and to somehow receive the power that comes forth from him. And Luke tells us that Jesus heals them all. Jesus then looks into all of their eyes and he tells them they are all blessed. Blessed not because of the things they have today. Contrary to popular belief, being blessed doesn't mean that we'll always have the good things in life. Instead, Jesus calls them blessed because there is hope. I made a visit some time ago and watched something really beautiful happen. The son of the person that I was visiting was in the room. And the burden on this son has been very great. He's had health problems, job loss, money problems, and he's also served as a full-time caregiver. And his shoulders were physically drooping under the weight of the world. And as we were talking, a hospice chaplain also came into the room to make a visit. And during our joint conversation, the hospice chaplain reached out to this man and simply told him that God loves him. And I saw a spark immediately enter into this man's eyes. And his shoulders lifted. And those simple words, God loves you, brought life and hope back into this man. And his spirit became alive again. And I can just imagine this happening to that crowd on the flat, sweeping plain. I can see Jesus reach out into the crowd and tell every single person that God loves them and they are blessed. And I can see their spirits lift and their lives take shape again. And I can imagine the hope that is now in their eyes. Hope. Hope in the resurrection. Hope, as described in our text today from Revelations, a text that we so often read during our memorial services. A time when there will be no more hunger nor thirst. A time when the sun will not strike us nor any scorching heat. A time when God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. In a time when those who suffer now will suffer no more. The message from the Beatitudes for us this All Saints Day is that we are all blessed and we are all set apart by God. Those whose lives are going well and those whose lives maybe aren't going so well. And the message is that God loves all of us, and God gives all of us hope in the resurrection, and we are all saints. God calls us then today to open our understanding of who is blessed, to look out across our plane, into our world, and to see those who the world has shunned, and know that they too are loved by God. But it really does go further than this. We're not called just to see the suffering today, nor only have sympathy with those. We're called to be with them, to share their sorrow, to enter into their losses, and to walk with them on their journey. To walk with each other through the ups and the downs of our lives. And I want to challenge each and every one of us this week to look into someone's eye and tell them that God loves them. Tell them that no matter what they're going through this week, they are loved and blessed by God. And if you happen to be the one who needs to be blessed, if you are the one looking across that plain into Jesus' eyes, looking for the hope of that resurrection, tell someone, or come and talk to me, or look into your mirror, look directly into your own eyes and say, God loves me. I am blessed. On this All Saints Day, we give thanks for all the saints, all of us who are set apart by God, the ones who died this past year, and the ones who sit next to us in the chair this morning, all of us who know the love of God and the hope of the resurrection. Thanks be to God. Amen.